News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. All Mobile Mornings. Cold morning. We got into the 20s this morning. Maybe about 31 right now, I think.
23 in Mount Vernon, wow. The cold spot of Mobile. I was thinking maybe we can get some investors together. I would love to open a bar up in Mount Vernon called the cold spot. I think that'd be awesome. It's always the coldest.
Just throwing another log on the fire at the cold spot, Dalton's new bar in Mount Vernon.
Sean calls it the icebox of Mobile County. Yeah. So 23 this morning, pretty chilly for December 31.
It's 26 in like Grand Bay, so it's just cold. All around the place here today.
That's changing, though. It'll warm up.
Yep.
And by next week, we'll be in the upper 60s. Actually, I think a bit of Friday, we'll be in the upper 60s. And then next week, the same thing. So it's going to be really nice. I know we asked at the end of the last hour what listeners are doing for New Year's Eve. And we'll maybe get to all of them at some point. But this was my favorite text so far. A texter said, I'll be watching football till 10 o'clock. Then going to bed so I can tee off at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Happy New Year.
Ooh.
Golf on January 1. Not many places
that.
You could do that.
No kidding. That's not. Well, there's places people do it anyway because they have no choice.
Yeah.
And they're addicted to golf, you know. Places in Maryland and New Jersey, you wouldn't believe, like, you're golfing today, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because they can read a calendar. It's like spring's no time soon. So if I'm going to get out there, I might as well.
But it ought to be pretty nice getting out there tomorrow.
Yeah, it should be. It should be very, very nice. That's a great idea to get some golf in. And then you wrap up the golf and suddenly
it's football time.
You're confronted with three straight college football playoff games. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Pretty good. We've got a few things wanted to hit on here this morning. I saw a thing about AI, which, you know, to me, there's a lot of under-discussion about it, but I could be wrong, but I just think that it's a massive concept. I mean, you know, where do you begin and end when you're talking about AI?
Yeah,
it's going to affect everything that we are and do.
It is and will be universal. There's so many different angles you can take at, you know, the perils of AI, the benefits of AI.
Yep.
It's a lot like the internet boom, you know, when internet was becoming, but I think so much beyond that.
We thought our minds were blown with the internet boom, and now we're like, okay, this is different. Now, I want you to listen to what he says rather than applaud who he is, because many of you may not be fans of one Bernie Sanders. I mean, most Democrats aren't really big fans of his because they screwed him. He was going to run for president against Trump, and suddenly, he's out.
Yeah.
So the Democratic Party, I should say.
I don't like a lot of his economic ideas. I did like him a lot more before he bended the knee.
Yeah.
The Democrats they screwed him over like that.
He didn't go kicking and screaming like a lot of people thought he would.
But he still says some things where I'm like, yeah, I think he has a pretty good point there.
So he made some points about AI. And his first point was simply that the individuals behind the implementation of AI are already some of the wealthiest and most powerful people in the world. That's irrefutable. That's true. He made a few more points about this. Is Bernie Sanders on AI. Again, listen to what he says.
Number two, economically. This is what Elon Musk, putting hundreds of billions of dollars into the technology, says, quote, AI and robots will replace all jobs. Working will be optional, end quote. Bill Gates, hundreds of billions of dollars into this technology, quote, humans won't be needed for most things. Well, I got a simple question. If there are no jobs and humans won't be needed for most things, how do people get an income to feed their families, to get health care, or to pay the rent? There's not been one serious word of discussion in the Congress about that reality.
Bernie talks about the difference between those who have and those who don't a lot. That's another case of that. But it's hard to argue with what he's saying. I mean, we just don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the future going to be?
Well, this whole discussion, and it makes me very uncomfortable, and especially with all the talk of fraud going on right now, but universal basic income, that's something that more and more even quote-unquote conservatives are talking about, because even if AI doesn't replace all jobs, which I don't think it will, and I think that by necessity...
I don't think it's going to replace our jobs.
I don't think so. I hope not.
I mean, but there could be a ripple effect where our jobs could be affected, what's going on around us.
Definitely. But, you know, out of necessity, there will be new jobs that are created.
Yep.
I don't know what those would be yet.
Right.
But that is going to be an issue. There will be a lot of people eventually put out of work, many already being put out of work. What's the answer? And he mentioned healthcare. Big hope with AI is that it would drop prices for a lot of things, just make it, you know, fewer labor costs, and they're able to be more efficient, you would think, and quicker on these things. But yeah,
people can live longer with AI doing the dirty work of getting to the bottom of diseases and cures and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a long road ahead of us here. But he is right in one part of that. And while there have been discussions at Congress, there haven't been any legitimate, like, let's put the screws down and figure this thing out.
Yeah, let's roll up our sleeves. So not even Congress is addressing it. So, and you can say what you want, but I think that kind of speaks to the paralyzing way we look at AI. What do we say? Where do we start? Sanders also said this.
Issue number three. Studies out there tell us what we all know to be true. Young people now are spending an enormous amount of time with AI. There are kids who are now getting most of their emotional support from AI.
Yeah.
If this trend continues, what does it mean over the years when people are not getting their support, their interaction from other human beings, but from a machine? What does that mean to humanity?
You know, in a way, that was a concern brought up when, well, I don't know necessarily when I was a kid, but just plopping kids in front of the TV and saying, the babysitter was, you know, Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
You know? So
they're getting all their emotional support from Johnny Carson.
Exactly. You know, it's a rerun, Dalton. It's really funny. And Don Rickles is on it. That's me at the age of five. Yeah. But this AI is a little more serious than that, obviously. Also, it's all that news editors are saying that AI stories, a lot of them, they're not publishing because they're not being clicked on. Like people, they're not attractive to, like, I want to read this story.
Mm-hmm.
Too much of a lower percentage will click on an AI story. Why, I'm not exactly sure. But that's one of the reasons that there's fewer AI stories out there, because they don't sell.
Well, we have on this show talked about the emotional connection that many people have with these chatbots, and
emotional and further.
I think that's where it benefits me. And I don't know how wide the span of generations are that were kind of in the sweet spot that I was. And it certainly helped that I grew up in Grove Hill with limited cell signal and a rather slow internet connection for most of my life, while the internet has been around my entire life for the most part. You know, I was born in 91, so it was really hitting its stride a few years after I was born.
That's right.
But the internet speed where I was wasn't good.
Right.
I didn't get a phone until I was a teenager, and even then I didn't have signal at my house.
I mean, you rode horses and played hockey as a kid. That's about as disconnected from the internet as you can be.
But in a way, I also got to grow up with it and kind of see the pitfalls as they were becoming pitfalls, right? As chatbots were becoming a thing, mm-hmm. as internet scams were becoming a thing, I grew up in it. What was it Bane said in Dark Knight? You adopted the dark. I was born in it. I was born in the early stages of the internet. Kids these days don't have that benefit. Now, they'll have other benefits from when they grew up, of course.
And they don't have the benefit of the perspective that you have.
Right. Okay. And a lot of older folks don't have the benefit that I had, because these scams are, even I fall for them and people my age fall for them, but they're, I think, really taking advantage of people who just don't realize the ability that the chatbots have now, and that the way people can use the internet to screw people over. But the emotional connection part, it is absolutely crazy. Some of the stories I've seen about people who begin, like, almost romantic, no, not almost, have romantic relationships with these, like, ChatGPT and Grok, and they're texting them all day and talking to them all day. It's so foreign to me that you could feel like you have a connection with somebody that's not a person, but that's happening to a lot of people.
We've had these conversations on other things that just kind of don't connect with the whole concept of it, like the furry thing and a lot of the transitioning stuff that it only seems that a certain segment of society would be attracted to. But now this thing is...
There's a question. Is it better to be a furry or someone who's in love with a chatbot?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take neither.
And it's worth examining. Love to hear what you've got to say on the text line, 251-343-0106.
And then the other aspect of this is, you know, how powerful will AI become? And if you put, and this is what the real debate is in D.C., and it's something that Trump has hit on, is if you put too many guardrails on America's ability to build out AI and use it for America's best interest, if in the name of safety, you put too many guardrails on that. And there's this whole discussion, too, about whether states should be allowed to regulate AI or not. And the president does not like that states want to regulate AI. He thinks that the federal government should be in charge. But if you do put guardrails on it, you know sure as heck that China and Russia, especially China is the main one we're thinking about here.
They're
not. I mean, they already have enough control over their people that the Chinese government is just going to go full bore ahead and in the complete best interest of China, which you wouldn't think would be in the best interest of the rest of the world. So you kind of have to balance that, making sure you're regulating it to the point where it won't take over Terminator style and won't completely wreck your economy in the meantime by taking out jobs. But you also have to move at a fast enough pace that you stay ahead of China in this new arms race.
AI data centers, they're not just big buildings with a bunch of computers in them either. We're talking about all the power that they use. If that was the only concern about it, it would be a big concern.
Yeah, and they're saying that's the reason that so many electric bills have gone up already.
Yep.
And that, you know, can our grid handle it? And you hear Elon Musk, he says solar is the way because he feels that solar is the only way, widespread and very efficient solar panels, getting solar power is the only way we will be able to power the new AI world. He is full bore ahead on that.
Yeah, and you're right. China, they don't care about about the safety of their citizens or any of that. It's all trumped by just the idea that we're going to get to the goal line first.
Mm-hmm.
And they're you know, everything they do, obviously, you know, being a government as it is, they don't have to go through Congress. They don't have to worry about Parliament. They just do it.
You know, there's this weird thing on Twitter now that people are doing with Grok, who's on Twitter, and that's the Twitter AI.
Yeah.
And they're telling Grok, they're taking pictures of people who are clothed and saying, remove the clothes on this person. And then Grok is doing that.
Wow.
And making new images that weren't real images, but quote unquote, taking the clothes off these people. We've already talked about some of the issues with students, young people using AI to make nude images of other people in their class, which has led to all kinds of other issues.
Issues on issues on issues for sure. 821 Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk. Or is it us or is it... Or are we AI?
Beep, boop.
The most unsophisticated AI pair out there, Dan and Dalton. We are speaking to you live from my studio, 826.
I like how Bernie calls them robots, by the way. Yeah. Robots.
Right.
I want to get to the text, and I don't want to bring this whole thing down, but you and I were just kind of talking off the air. And great stuff with Bryant Knight yesterday on Midday Mobile. You should listen to that. But think of our our veterans and our active duty military today as well on this holiday. And, you know, I said it, and I was talking about the Ukraine war with Quinn. It's kind of weird to think I'm sitting on the couch watching NFL on Netflix while over in Ukraine they are in trenches and fighting it out and drones. But we have a lot of American boys and girls that are in some very serious situations too, all over the world.
So I guarantee you.
Not that our listeners need me to let them know, but just kind of think about them. Maybe say a little prayer if you get a chance. Yep. But back to, you know, happy New Year's Eve. What are y'all doing tonight? Texter says going to a party at a friend's house, hoping to leave around 8, then home, finish up a late football game, go to bed, make it up a little early the next morning, and go on a walk on the beach. That's what GC is doing. So that's
like
some good stuff. Yeah. He also says about AI, I do IT work, which includes a lot of customer service. Some is remote. Latest group of younger technicians have zero customer service skills because they don't have to communicate with people. But the latest AI customer service I've heard was actually pretty good. So that's a lot of jobs that will be replaced by AI. And I saw someone on Facebook posting the other day, and they said, I guess they were calling Tesla for some kind of assistance, and they didn't even realize it was AI. It was the best customer service they had. And then at the end of it said, hey, by the way, are you AI? And they're like, yep. I'm AI.
Whoa.
And it makes sense that Tesla would have that kind of AI answering the phone.
We unloaded on Tesla a little bit yesterday about the removing the FM radios from a number of their models.
Drew says AI is definitely going to be a concern for jobs in the future. I'm very concerned about my 17-year-old son who is a straight-A student and how it will affect his future. Have to add, though, furry over a chatbot any day. LOL. That was kind of a funny, a rock and hard place. Would you rather be a furry or be in love with a chatbot? I said neither. I think you said it's not a rock and hard place. It's a rock and a
furry place.
So
sorry, but it is.
And remember too, it wasn't that long ago, all of the smart people were telling all these kids, learn to code, learn to code. It's the only future you have is if you learn to code. Well, I bet a lot of the people that learn to code are thinking, why the hell did I do that? Because AI can do it easily.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of students and former students that are saying, why the blank did I do whatever they did, whatever they studied in college, because they're having a really hard time right now already finding employment in a job in which they have a degree.
It'll be funny if all those degrees we've been making fun of, you know, all those really high-priced arts degrees and stuff like that, end up being, you know, the ones that are worth something once the AI...
They end up in the mansion on the hill.
Yeah. But Backstrap, he says, AI will never plumb a house or dig a ditch or any kind of manual labor. I'd love to agree, and I really think the trades, you're going to be safe for a long time.
Robots, though?
But robots, I don't know, digging ditches? Yeah. I don't know. But you'll still need somebody to be in control, right?
You've never seen a robot with a bad back.
No.
They're going to show up and work every day.
They are, without complaint. He said, these people falling in love with the chatbot are the reason we need to reopen mental institutions. These people are disconnected from real life.
Look, it's not just, we are farming them. We are growing people, new people with mental, mental issues because of the society that we're in right now, and with this, they were okay when they got here. They were fine in the fourth grade. Now, at 17,
all twisted up.
All twisted up. Did it to ourselves.
Josh says, universal basic income, that sounds like Star Trek socialist utopia. Screw that. I like Shatner, but I'm a Star Wars guy all day.
Okay. 8 Nerd Wars. 8:30 with Dan and Dalton. Good morning.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
834 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. And as we bring the year to a close, for the last time, we'll talk with Louis Arata at McConnell Automotive. Next time we talk, it'll be a new year and new deals and new cars always on the lot at McConnell Automotive. But good morning, Louis.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Hey, we're great. And drove by the other day, man. You got a lot of nice looking vehicles in that lot at McConnell Automotive. And I know a lot of folks are looking to buy, especially after Christmas here.
Oh, yeah. You got a little Christmas cash. Mm-hmm. You want to buy a car. And, you know, if you want to watch one of those games, don't forget, we'll have the TVs on all the games. I think they start at what time?
11 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. No, and today.
Yeah, 11 today and tomorrow, I believe, are the first games.
We won't be here tomorrow. We'll be sitting around eating black-eyed peas and watching a few games. It's going to be a nice day to play golf, but, man, it's going to be a nice day to come out here and buy a car today. Mm-hmm. Last day of the month, last day of the year, we got to move some metal. So don't forget, we got 0% on half-ton trucks. And, you know, if you got, you know, you got a car in the driveway and you need some cash to pay off Christmas, give us a call, 251-476-4141. We sure would like to buy it from you.
Yeah, and I love how easy it is, too. All folks have to do is call you up, give you a description, VIN number, mileage, and then you can give them a price right then.
That's right. Just call that number, 251-476-4141. Ask for Eddie Hicks and give him a little description, the VIN number, and the miles, and he'll try to give you a price right over the phone.
You know, I was had a bit of a drive, Valdosta and back this weekend, and saw so many different models of AT4s out there, but they are so beautiful. So I absolutely love those. I know you have many that look just as good and different models out there at McConnell, so folks really need to get out there and check it out. And we appreciate it, Lou. Hope you have a happy New Year's Eve and New Year's, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, everybody, be safe out there, and everybody have a happy new year, and come by and see us in the new years.
All right. There's Louie, McConnell Automotive. That's where you'll find Louie Arata and the team. They're on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com. I felt like I was making pretty good headway from Valdosta to here, and there was something about the traffic, man. People were moving it along.
We were 80 miles an hour and beyond. You're talking about fast.
Yeah, and I was keeping pace. Let's just say I wasn't at the front of the groupings, but I was moving pretty good. I kept seeing these AT4s go by, and I'm like, man, those are some hot vehicles out there. But we're talking AI this morning, and also your plans for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And a good buddy of ours, we actually received a fantastic Christmas card from our friend CB Carl and Laura here at FM Talk 106.5, and he joins us here. CB, I was triggered by your Christmas card you sent in.
I was just going to ask you. I hope it triggered you.
It did. It triggered all of us.
That was too cool. Hey, explain the Christmas card. You and Laura sitting out there. That was cool.
Okay. Well, there's a Hauser anti-tank weapon that sits at the Foley Park there, and we went. It's right by the fire department. We got one of the Foley firefighters to come over and take our picture. And we've got a printer down here the print zone. They take care of our picture every year. We go somewhere, like last year we did the shrimp boat, and we get our picture taken, and then we carry that picture down to her, and she does her magic and puts all that stuff on there. But it's us with that anti-tank gun, and it says we seriously hope this triggers your, in parentheses, now, I mean, in quotations, it triggers your Christmas spirit, Merry Christmas. And what inspired that was I bought Laura, she works at Louisiana Lanyup down there on the beach, and she carries all her stuff in a big bag, you know, or extra stuff. Anyway, I bought her a canvas bag that had the CB logo on one side and Phoebe the CB, the little pinup cartoon. Yeah, you Google it. She's something else. Yeah, but anyway, one of the hostesses, one of the young hostesses at the restaurant, asked her to turn the bag around because the CB has a machine gun.
No way.
And she said it was triggering her. And I was like, really? Snowflake.
That's too much. So there's a lot going on, and you know, you tend to make it to a lot of these different events. I know you were out at Warrior Legacy Ranch when Patrick Jump was having that event back earlier this year or late last year. You come to Fairhope Brewing when we were there.
Yeah, so I'm also at an event at the Icebox in Mobile.
Yeah, the
Oyster
Ball. Oyster.
And you do the hot air balloons too. But what's your New Year's tradition? I know you wanted to call in and talk about that.
Well, I haven't done it in years. I did my first polar bear dip at the Floribama in 1987.
Wow.
And
you were a young CB Carl.
I moved back here. I moved back here in 86 and immediately got involved in the foolishness that went on at the old Floribama. And I mean, you know, if you're going to be a local, you're going to be a local.
There you go.
But I watched it grow over the years, but I haven't done the polar bear dip since the one after Ivan.
Okay.
The Floribama looks at it, to me, it's like somebody put a spaceship where the Floribama used to be.
Mm-hmm.
After they rebuilt it, it used to smell like illicit substances and old oysters. Now it smells like patchouli.
Hey, by the way, I saw my brother and his wife this weekend, and they have a 3-month-old baby. That 3-month-old has already been to the Floribama.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Sunday back in the day, back when Frank Brown, the guy that the security guy, he was the security guy that they named the Frank Brown International Music Festival.
Yeah.
Old black fella, he was something else. He always used to say when he was acting up, he'd say, "What would your mama say?"
I love that. I love that.
He come in. We get down there to Floribama, and then on after church, everybody file in, and Mr. Brown there, he brought his whole family in after church, and they set up this one big table right there by the jukebox, and it was something else. But I wanted to call and talk about the Floribama polar bear dip because it's changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first did it, it started a couple of years before me. Pat and some guys got into a debate about whether they would jump in on New Year's Day. But anyway, they if we got a dozen people swimming, it was something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now look at it. It's just like I was there when they started the whole idea of the mullet toss. Anyway, I want to make some people take some wind out of people's sails for tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow's going to be what we used to call a wimp dip.
Wimp dip? Is that because of the weather or what?
Yeah, because of the weather. I have done that polar bear dip where we had a north wind.
Yeah.
You know how the north wind gets it and it blows all the water out of the Gulf.
Oh yeah.
You do a polar bear dip on a day like that. By the time you get out far enough, and I always made it a point to swim further than anybody else. I'm just that kind
of
fool.
Of course you did, yeah.
But anyway, but before you could get enough water to dive into, because you got to go underwater to make it official,
mm-hmm.
by the time you couldn't feel anything below your knees.
Carl, I think I've witnessed one polar bear dip that I can remember being there. You might remember this because it was before Ivan. It was a cold day. It was not a wimp dip, I don't believe, because it was kind of chilly, and also maybe there was even maybe a little sleet falling.
Oh man!
It's been a cold, freezing rain.
Yeah, that's the only time I've watched one when I could clearly say these people are insane.
Well, there's people that polar bear dip every day of the year now with all these cold plunges out there. It's kind
I've got
of
a friend
thing.
That does that every day. Yeah. So did you participate on that day on the day of the sleet?
Yeah, I didn't miss one from 87 to 2005.
Okay, well you were there then.
Yeah, you may have seen me. Late Joe Gilchrist asked me. I used to do tie dyes, and I tie dyed me a lime green and yellow terry cloth robe, and I had a big giant. I can't find the picture. There's a picture around here somewhere. We can't find it, but when I finally find it, I'll make sure you get a copy. I'll send you a copy.
You were like a boxer climbing into the ring,
a hippie boxer.
Yeah, but I also get this. I also had, I'm not a little fella, and I've always had a beard, but I had a big fuzzy, kind of a hunter orange and yellow pimp hat. Big.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that was my outfit for the polar bear dip. That's how I entered the ring.
Well,
fuzzy bear.
I should have remembered that, but there were so many memorable views that day. There were so many people there,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people that were doing similar things. I'm afraid you didn't stand out to make it.
That's one of the few times I would blend in.
Well, good stuff, CB. Well, Happy New Year. We got a lot of texts we want to get to, but
like a pimp.
CB Carl, the pimp, man. I hope you have a great New Year,
man,
you
good.
And Laura, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, both of y'all, man. And I look forward to another year of enjoying y'all's mornings.
Thank you. Tell Laura we said hello.
She just walked through here. I will. Bye.
All right, we'll do the best. Yeah, so they have a polar dip at the Floribama and the Hangout this year. So if that's kind of your thing, I don't know. I can think of better things to do on January 1 than getting in cold water.
Me too, any day. So, again, he had a lime robe. Of course, they're all in real skivvies, almost like underwear, when it's all said and done, and a pimp hat. And so, and saying he was just trying to blend in with the crowd at the Floribama.
It's tough for CB Carl to blend in.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the text line. We'll talk with Jeff Poor here before our show wraps up. Fire Dog says the Terminators, a lot of this. So our 8 o'clock hour today, it's all AI or your New Year's Eve and New Year's plan.
Right.
He said AI has already replaced all 1065 texters, 1001001. He also says the Terminators will make sure that you dig the ditch and there's no need for plumbing when they kill all the humans. That was one of my favorite songs too, by the way. Is it Monster? I can't remember the name of it. They've got a song called 1000111101. I don't know. That's what Fire Dog reminded me of.
Okay.
There. Another texter, someone has to build the robots and work on them when they break. My company already has lost 3,000 hours of programming time recently when BP used an AI tool for the coding.
Somebody does have to do the repairs, but I guess in the movies, the robots repair each other.
Yeah,
right?
They do. Yeah. I think Wall-E, you know, that might end up being the most prescient of the robot movies over the years, where all of the humans were just hilariously obese and everything else was just robots and the world was covered in trash.
See,
I don't know.
That was the movie I wanted to go see it. So I had to borrow a friend's kid.
No way.
Yeah. I wanted to go see Wall-E, but I didn't have a kid that small. So I'm like, oh, what do I do now? So I called my buddy Steve. I said, hey, man, is so-and-so little Jack, is he open to go watch a movie? Oh, yeah, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I took him to go to the movie so I could see the movie, and I fell asleep at the movie.
No way. Yeah, oh, man. You pulled out all the stops and fell asleep.
I did, yeah.
Well, if there are any new children's movies you'd like to see coming up, let me know.
Okay.
I've got a couple that you can rent.
Yeah, right? You do.
Randy says, Dalton, OMG, you were born the year I got married. 91 was a great year. Fantastic year to get married. And it gets further and further away every year. So I'm not as young as I used to be, I guess. Larry says, AI talk trades, specifically repair and replacement trades. New construction will be affected. I've already seen roofing robots and prototype drywall hanging robots. But you're going to be hard-pressed to get a machine to crawl under a house full of mud and dirt and debris to repair a leak on a plumbing pipe or pull a wire after drilling a hole. I also think, too, kind of in that, you know, there's ability. That's one thing. But when do you think the true political pushback, civil war kind of thing, where it's not as much left versus right anymore, but anti-AI versus AI? I think, you know,
Won't anti-AI be most of the argument will be against AI?
It'll be, well, not everybody.
Not everybody, but what's the one?
Middle class, lower class, I guess. When does that become the heated political battle?
And
we don't even talk so much about...
We put everything else...
Other values. It's about AI. Are you pro-AI or anti-AI? I think that won't be far away if you keep it this level.
That's... AI is going to bring us together, is what you're saying. AI is going to bring Republicans, conservatives, and liberals together.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything could, but maybe that's the one.
It could.
Don says, good morning. Every year on New Year's Eve, I thank the Lord. He sent his son Jesus to guide us through this next year when we choose to serve only him. I pray everyone has a safe New Year's Eve, and thank each of you at 106.5 for making our lives better as we listen. Your station truly has a calling.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for expressing those thoughts. That's why we're here.
Billy from Fowl River, so he gets a lot of the family together every New Year's. He says, always big family together, a lot of crazy traditions. Eat 12 grapes and drink champagne and make a wish on each of them at midnight.
I think I've heard of that before. It's some sort of a old country tradition, isn't it? Where does that come from? Do you say?
He says his wife's from Venezuela, so maybe that's a Venezuelan tradition or something. I'm not sure.
Billy
sends us a picture every morning out there on Fowl River with the American flag in the background, too. Hey, before we go to the break, also, of course, it's a big sports week and weekend. You have all the playoff games. You have, of course, a lot of basketball going on. NFL final week of the regular season, so it's a good time to download the Underdog app. It's the best place to get in on all of the action, and with Underdog Unwrapped, you'll unwrap tons of promos all throughout the holidays. There's boosts, gimme picks, deal reveals, even some surprises sprinkled in. So now is the best time to get in the game, and you can make entries and win money right here, right now in Alabama. Playing on Underdog is easy. All you have to do is choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, or steals. In football, of course, you're talking other statistics like yards gained, you know, points scored. If you get your entries right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. So download the app today. Use promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, and score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton, Underdog. Make plays, win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-at-terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Jeff Poor joins us next.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Yepper. We try to do that for you.
That's us.
What's happening with the government center, man? Can you move those offices out of there? I guess they're considering more of the face-to-face things that people do with the government. Those offices may leave. It kind of makes sense, actually, because parking downtown.
It's not always easy to get there.
Yeah. Jeff Ford, the Jeff Ford Show is on the way. He's here now. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So let's get this out of the way. Guest you have coming up, and then I have some very serious hard-hitting questions for you.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. So
I can't wait. Dick Brubaker coming up. We'll close out the year with Dick Brubaker at a 9 o'clock hour. Joey Clark, our Wednesday regular. And then we'll make up for yesterday. John Wall will be with us at the 11 o'clock hour.
Loved your interview with the kiddo last week.
That was great.
I think everyone did.
Well, I think, you know, what he's done is he's forced it to become like a weekly. He should be one of your weekly guests.
Is he going to replace State Senator Chris Elliott on Fridays? That's the question. As the
it makes his mom a little uneasy. She doesn't know. I mean, she's afraid he's going to reveal too much sensitive data or something. So like, I did it, and she you know, like, we should have talked about this first. Yeah. But
Daddy's password is, and well, he gives out.
I'll tell you what, that whole interview, the one thing I took away from it was, this kid shoots from the hip. I mean, if he's thinking it, he's saying it. And I noticed that about
him.
There's
no such thing as stranger danger.
Yeah,
with
no.
Him. Because
no.
He will just go up and, you know, like every time we go to a sporting event or any, we go to a lot, he'll just go up and talk to people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a fascinating little guy. I thought it was a really cute interview, and he was so Dalton's got some questions about, you know.
Well, yeah, you bring up the sporting events.
He's been to plenty.
How are you handling this mass exodus from the planes right now on the football team?
How's he handling it?
He never was a big fan of the football. It's kind of funny. He's basketball. It's easier to understand.
Yeah.
And football is just like this emotional pitfall for him. But I think
that would have to do with the losing all the time.
It's just kind of knowing what I know about the Auburn program right now and what it was like under Hugh Freeze, and we're going to be sitting on a bunch of cash. It's going to be really important for Golish to have a big transfer portal, but we're going to have a lot of them. I'm not even losing sleep over Cam Coleman.
Really?
I thought he dropped too many passes. Well, what would you? I mean, he's a good receiver, and we would love to have him. But like what we're paying him and what he was producing, just the cost benefit analysis didn't add up.
Yeah. Well, get to learn the name Chaz Nimrod because he's headed your way from South Florida. I'm sure.
I mean,
he'll
bad? I mean, with the transfer board, this team, as awesome as we were last season with that record, are you telling me that we need to be losing sleep over this losing team leaving the Plains for elsewhere? I mean, like, what else do we got to lose?
Well, what about
rock
Deuce,
bottom as it is?
Deuce Knight. I mean, you leave the end of this
game
team.
Against Mercer. I mean, come on, Mercer.
Yeah, but
Dan Brennan could land up against Mercer have a good game.
I have had good games against Mercer. But anyway, look, the thing is, he was one giant glimmer of you felt bad. Better about Auburn after the Mercer game. You got to.
Why didn't he play in the Bama game?
I don't know.
It wasn't him. I'm sure he would have.
Why he didn't play in the Bama game?
Why?
Because he was suspended.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh, I didn't
know
that.
We had a discipline problem down on the Plains, guys. These guys leaving were bad news.
Mm. Well, I do have high hopes for Golish. I know he was the Tennessee offensive coordinator the year that they had their best team with Hooker and Hyatt and all those dudes. So I know he knows how to put an offense together, but yeah, it might take a little bit of time to figure it out.
I mean, what, we're going to go 7-4 or something? I mean, like, what do we have to lose at this point? I just like losing this team that was crappy last year. Why are we... Well, I mean, yeah, sure, celebrate it if you bust Alabama. That's fine, but whatever. I don't get it. Like, why are we clutching our pearls here?
I can't wait till your little boy starts just chanting the name Chad Nimrod. Chaz Nimrod.
Did I tell you guys he got in a little bit of trouble for yelling out, run the damn ball, nerd?
Well, you know you have to get him the hat now. They have those hats, run the damn ball.
I mean, he just everybody was yelling it, and he decided to get in on the action. So
that was at a game.
Was that at the Iron Bowl, or was it?
That was at the Iron Bowl.
Oh, my God. That's
that
so
is
funny.
Golden. That
oh, awesome. I should see this little guy at an actual game. And,
I bet he's losing it.
Yeah, but he's also doing all the cheers, too. So he's made himself at home.
What I'm really looking forward to is you taking him up to Montgomery for the legislative session here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, sure. We get so it's great to be in Alabama or something from the balcony there.
You got a lot of big-time guests lined up here, Jeff. So focus on your show, and we'll talk to you next
year.
Yeah, next year, yeah.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
Jeff Poor. Great dude, great show. It's coming up next, and we'll see you in 2026.